Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Joe and Michelle.
Welcome, friends, to episode 12 of the GC Podcast. I am Joe Brannon, digital content developer on the GCI media team. And here in the United States, we are hitting the holiday season. We got Thanksgiving, Christmas, and I really love the season. The weather is cooling down here. The leaves are falling, changing colors, and it's just a wonderful time. This is one of my happy places, Michelle.
Yeah, except for I have that fear. Winter is coming. And I don't like to be cold. That's okay. It is quite lovely. A lot to be thankful for this year in 2019. I'm going to focus on that.
You do that.
Oh, yeah. It's
I won't be able to put all of this in there, but this is good.
For those of you who haven't figured it out yet, I am Michelle Fleming, GCI Media Director, and a sucker for a pun, and also someone who forgets to introduce myself all the time. It's good to be here with y'all.
I think what threw you off is I said your name.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might have thrown you off, so I'll take responsibility for that.
That's okay.
Well, we are so glad that you are here and wanting to invest in yourself as a ministry leader. And on today's episode, I was able to chat with pastoral resident and fundraising animal, CJ Moundcar, and she shares her insights and experience on how she seeks out resources outside of the local congregation to serve their church's local community. But before we jump into the episode, in case you missed it in the last episode, we are excited to announce the 2020 denominational celebration is coming up next year, July 29th through August 2nd in Charlotte, North Carolina. The celebration theme is focused on hope. There will be breakouts, uplifting stories, inspirational messages, focusing on the Hope Venue, which is your weekly worship service. And pastors, we'd like to encourage you to come and bring your leaders. This is an exciting event where you can connect and learn. And I tell you, the last denominational celebration, like I said in that last episode, had over 1,000 people. And it was amazing. You can believe it was impactful and inspirational. And you know what, Michelle?
What?
I've got some good news.
Tell me more.
And actually, the only reason why I have this good news is because you told me this good news.
Oh. Remind me of the good news.
Oh, let me remind you. Anybody who is staying on site at the hotel and registers during the month of December will have their registration fee waived.
Say what?
That is right. You can get something for free.
Yes. And quality stuff.
Yes. And it's quality.
That early bird,
yeah,
catches the free worm.
Exactly. Exactly. You can find more info and register at gci.org/events/2020. Registration will open in December. So let's jump into this episode and my conversation with CJ Moundcar and listen to how she puts fun into fundraising.
Ooh.
In the GCI studio, we've got CJ Moundcar.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
Okay, Moundcar. This is probably like the third take, honestly. And I messed it up. I botched her last name. I've known her my whole life, but it was a different last name.
Yeah, married a complicated last name.
It's not even that complicated. Anyways, we got CJ in the studio, and we actually have a little bit of a studio audience as well.
What's up?
I know. Yeah, a little clap in the background. And CJ is a longtime friend of mine. She is an awesome woman. She's a wife to an awesome husband, Lucas, mother of two great boys, full of energy, just like mom and dad.
Oh, yes.
Just like mom and dad.
Especially dad.
Especially dad. She leads worship. She also leads the teen ministry. She runs a mobile coffee shop called a Latte Love, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been doing that?
Since 2014.
So about 4 years.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. And then, you know, in her spare time, she's just finishing her master's, that's all. Because she doesn't do enough anyways, so... she is a passionate Jesus lover. She loves the church. She loves her community. And it's just really great to have you in the studio again. So welcome.
It is so cool being here. I love this studio.
Well, I like it too.
I feel so important.
So we're going to jump right into a specific topic. If you haven't heard about CJ's story, you can go back and listen to a previous podcast. We'll put that in the show notes or something like that because she gave a little bit of her history. But we're going to jump right into this particular topic because this is something that a lot of people, not just our denomination, but a lot of people struggle with. And one of the reasons why I wanted to do this topic is because I struggle with it. I struggle with it a lot, and that is fundraising.
Dun, dun, dun.
And CJ is really great at fundraising. Matter of fact, the word has been recoined as fundraising.
Right.
Because to you, it's fun.
Okay, fundraising should be fun.
This is why I wanted to have this interview right here, because I want to know how it's fun, because there's all these stigmas of fundraising and what that looks like, but I've seen you do fundraising, whether it's actually raising funds or getting people to donate things, and so this is why we're going to dive into this, because I want to give you as much time to share. So let's just start off with this. Why is fundraising important?
Yes, everything takes money to run, right?
Sure.
But fundraising is an opportunity on top of just, instead of just going out and asking people for money, fundraising is a huge avenue to build relationship. It's a huge avenue to serve your community and to get to know your community. And it is a huge, like I said, it is fun. My yeah. fundraising is fun. Yeah. I mean, a lot of fun.
There's a lot of people right now going, fundraising is
yeah,
not
fun.
She's
crazy. Who is this girl? Yeah. But that's because their definition of fundraising is completely different than my definition of fundraising.
Yeah.
When most people think of fundraising, they think about going door to door, business to business, saying, mm-hmm. would you like to donate? And nobody wants to be asked that. Nobody wants to. I mean, some people do. But for the most part, you know, people have no soliciting signs on their door for a reason.
Right, right.
I mean, it's just, and it's. It's kind of disheartening to feel like you're begging, right? Like, that's not, that's just not natural. We, you know, it's a bother, and I get that. That sounds horrible to me, but that's not fundraising. Like, that may have been fundraising 40 years ago.
Yeah.
But that's not fundraising anymore.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there hasn't been enough education out there and people who are really passionate about it to, like, depict what it really is. You can read all the books in the world about fundraising,
mm-hmm.
and it's not going to help you fundraise. I mean, you may get some information and some education out of it,
yeah.
but it's not. I mean, that's just like saying, you know, you get a relationship with Jesus by doing nothing but going to church every week. That's not how you
it's
get
absurd.
A relationship with Jesus.
Right.
You don't get that by sitting there,
yeah.
you know? You get it through an active participation and relationship with God and each other. And it's the same way with fundraising.
Elaborate more on that. Because you, matter of fact, this is not even in the questions, because I like the direction that you're going with this. So explain to me what you mean by that.
Okay, so I'm going to give an example of what's coming up.
Okay.
We have Valentine's Day coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I do a fundraiser, I don't want to just ask people for money. What I want to do is I want to find out something, a way that I can serve them so that they're getting something and at the same time promote relationship and within whatever I'm doing. So for Valentine's Day, we started this last year, was the first time I did this. We kind of did it on a small note. This year, I'm filled up. I can't take any more, but we are doing singing Valentines. And
like,
I know,
like going around, like, literally singing
literally.
To people.
oh, like four of us are getting together as a group. I got us costumes this year that are hilarious, like foam hearts, the emoji with the heart eyes.
Yes.
I mean, we got the, you know, king and queen of hearts. Like, it's just, we had fun with it. And I made a graphic. Okay. And basically, it's $40. Okay. For a singing Valentine.
Yeah.
And what they get is they get a rose, they get a small box of chocolates, and they get, and it's very, I'm very specific that we guarantee to have a group of people come in and sing extremely loud and off key to your loved ones. So there's no excuses of, but I'm not musically talented. Great. This is perfect for you. If you are musically talented,
we don't want you.
We don't. Well, don't sing pretty. Sing yeah. horrible, because that's what makes it so much fun, right?
Yeah.
And then with that, so we will go and we will sing just the chorus. It takes, you know, maybe 45 seconds to do the chorus of just three popular songs. Mm-hmm. And we record it with our phones. And then part of the $40 package is they get the recording. So they get to see their loved one's reaction
oh, wow.
to this. And this is something, but what's great about this is we did this last year. The singing Valentines were fun. It is fun to embarrass people sometimes, right?
Yeah,
like, it's
yeah.
a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But the best part was being with the young adults that were with me in the car, driving from place to place, building relationship, building, you know, this memory. Like, we laughed about it all year long because it was yeah. so much fun. So this year we stepped it up some notches, you know, with the costumes, and I got the advertisement out early, and we booked up, I mean, just, I put it on our neighborhood Facebook page and we filled up. If I wanted to boost it and like take it to Oklahoma City, I just don't have enough people. It
right.
could be a huge fundraiser.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean, that fundraising should be fun.
Yeah.
You know?
So when you're promoting it, you said you created a graphic and you put it on the community Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are you specifying, saying, hey, this is a fundraising
Absolutely.
Event? So
yeah.
you're very transparent with that.
No bait and switches in
okay.
my book. I mean, the more...
And it's, you're specifically raising funds... for the church or for like an event or like
what
do you say?
It depends on what. Like, last year our fundraising went for Camp Surrey,
okay.
our new neighborhood camp.
Yeah.
This year it's going to Crosswalk Community Church, just into a general fund.
Yeah.
But we have built up enough trust in our community
mm-hmm.
that they want to support that.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's what we're, and I'm very apparent on all of my graphics at the bottom. I always put sponsored by, this was a fundraiser for. And then when I post it in the description, I'm very detailed on what it's for.
Yeah.
And people want, they want to be a part of it, because it's not just that. At Easter, we do Egg Your Home, where for an X amount of money, we will come egg your home. And that's not how it sounds.
Yeah.
But we will come and hide stuffed Easter eggs in your backyard
yeah.
for you. So the night before Easter, so on Easter morning, when your whole family wakes up, everybody has an egg hunt in their own backyard or front yard.
And mom and dad don't have to get out there and do it.
Absolutely.
I mean, the Easter bunny.
Right. And there's like upsells, right? So it's like, if you want the prize golden egg added in, it's this much more. And people are like, oh yeah, throw that golden egg.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of pushback have you gotten on doing these fundraising as far as from the community? Have you gotten any?
No pushback.
Not one.
Like, in fact, I always get, you do the coolest fundraisers. Like, these are so
wow.
cool. We want to start one this year where my husband, we love Halloween, like that kind of time of year.
Yeah.
And we always decorate our house. We put the webs outside, you know?
Yeah.
And my husband's kind of became a pro at it. So this year, we are going to buy an adult-sized Spider-Man costume.
Oh, no.
And as a fundraiser, my husband is going to go around and web people's homes for a donation.
Wow.
I mean, you know, how fun is that? That
right.
you can have Spider-Man come web your house during the Halloween season, and it's a fundraiser for a church, and not just a church, but a church that openly serves your community.
Yeah.
In your neighborhood. I mean,
because this, let's also clarify, this is the community, the neighborhood of which you guys live in.
Yeah, these are my neighbors.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of the church members live in the same neighborhood as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, wow. The Spider-Man thing's throwing me off. It really is.
Surprise!
I know. Okay, so... I think one of the things that some churches struggle with when they do fundraising is they don't raise a lot of funds with some of their fundraising.
Right.
So when you talk about you have filled up all your slots, you right. don't have any more room, mm-hmm. like how many slots are we talking about?
I'm talking, I brought in $600 and it'll take us one morning.
$600 in just a few hours.
Yeah, just a few hours of spending time with the young adults in my congregation
yeah.
who I want to spend time with anyway.
Yeah, and also getting out into the community.
Absolutely, I mean, absolutely.
Now, this, let's just say for this particular fundraiser, not
That's
fundraiser,
right.
I'm going to try to change that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Are you just going to people's homes? Or are you going to people's?
We're going to their work.
Really? So you travel all over
all
the city?
Over, yeah.
Wherever their workplace is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Now I did. I mean, as people messaged me, they said, "How far will you go?" And I'm like, "How far do you want me to go?" And I did have to turn a couple of people down just for time restraints. I mean,
right.
it just wasn't worth it. You know, at
yeah.
the end of the day, we are fundraising.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you know, yeah, you have to be flexible if you're going to love on people. And it's much more fun to embarrass your loved one at their job
yeah.
than it is in the privacy of your own home.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think of Buddy the Elf when they thought it was a scene, Christmas Graham.
Yes, absolutely. Man,
I would find it really humorous to have somebody show up here at my work or at my wife's work.
And, you know, some of these were like the things I just said, they were examples of more of the fundraising that you can really include young people, young
yeah.
families, young adults in.
Yeah.
Now, there are going to be congregations out there, I get it, that
they
are small.
Have that.
They don't have
right.
that. But that doesn't mean, I mean, you may be small, but you are mighty. Like, that's
yeah.
what you have to remember. Like, that's who God says you are. You are mighty.
Yeah.
And it's like there's other stuff you can do. Another great thing that people don't know about is you can throw, I mean, we always talk about our target community. Find your target community. Once you find that target community and you want to serve it, then throw a neighborhood event. Invite food trucks. And what most people don't know is food trucks, if you ask them, they'll donate 10% of their sales back to your nonprofit. So not only can you have an event where you don't have to do any food, any silverware, any drinks, because food trucks do all that,
yeah.
you know what I mean? And then you get something back out of it.
Yeah.
There's things like that. There's restaurants. Many fast food chains out there will let you do, you know, one night a month where anybody who goes and eats at that chain and mentions they're there for your church, they get a percentage of the sales kicked back to your church. And these are little things, but they really add up.
So also, I'd like for you to talk a little bit about a project that you guys did in your neighborhood at the Hidden Park, where you guys revamped it. It was a park that's kind of hidden off somewhere, hadn't been touched in a long time, so it was really riggedy looking as far as like just the paint was chipping and some rust and those kinds of things, and you guys wanted to refreshen it.
Yeah.
And I remember coming in and filming that story a little bit, but I heard that you got things donated, so it wasn't just money that you raise, but you get things donated.
Absolutely.
Talk about what happened with that event and other things that you've had donated
okay.
and how you did it.
You know how, like, on the movie Field of Dreams, that saying, if you build it, they will come?
Yeah.
Like, it is so true in life. And also, if you ask, the worst thing that can happen is they'll say no. No, thank you. Why are we so scared of that? Because for every 10 no's, what if you get one yes?
Yeah.
Thank you for asking. There, I have learned that in communities and especially neighborhoods, people have a heart of giving.
Yeah.
But they don't know how to give. They don't know how to serve. They don't know who needs help. They don't know, you know, and they just have to be asked. And so, again, I utilize social media, because that was my best way to reach that neighborhood off of their Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I put, hey, I want to organize a work party and we want to redo this park for our neighborhood and for our kids. These are the things we need. Is anyone willing to help? When we do our trunk or treat the same way, is anyone willing to donate? And within minutes, what do you need? What do you need? What do you need?
Wow.
Because people want to know.
Yeah.
So then I found that, okay, I'm just going to make a post listing everything that we need and see what happens. And I was blown away. People were, there was a lady that lives in the neighborhood, and, you know, she paid for an entire bounce house to be there during the trunk or treat. She didn't want anything in return, but that was her way of giving back to the community.
Yeah.
You know, at the Hidden Park, people had donated money to go toward cameras to put up, you know, to avoid kind of destruction. And people donated, I mean, their time, they donated. We actually, I got a phone call the night before we went to the Hidden Park, and he was like, hey, I own the pizza place in Piedmont, which is about, you know, 5-10 minutes away, another small town. And he was like, I saw your posts on the Surrey Hills Neighbor page, and I love what your church is doing. Can I come out and set up a tent with my business and just serve you guys all free lunch, all the volunteers? And I'm like, can you? Well, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's like, twist my arm a little bit harder, please.
I didn't call. I mean.
Yeah, you didn't call.
No, he called me because he wanted to be a part of something.
Yeah.
We all want to belong to something.
Yeah.
And most people, they'll admit they want to belong to something, but not a church necessarily.
Right.
But you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And before you know it, I've got people. A friend of mine, Grant, said, CJ, it amazes me. You have people coming to church events who they don't even know it's a church event until they're like, oh, this church is sponsoring it. You know, they are being active in the mission of Jesus through relationship, and they don't even know it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just know they want to be a part of a community and they want to be a part of relationship. And it's a beautiful thing. And people want to give and they want to give back and they want to be asked. And like I said, they may say no, but they also may call you back the next day and say, you know what? Even though I couldn't help, I have a friend that owns this. And I'll bet you for camp, I just sent an email to everybody I knew who like owned a business.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, would you be willing to scholarship a camper? You know, and I don't even remember how much. I got one check for $1,000 just because we asked.
Yeah.
In an email. It wasn't even, you know, and that is a regret because I also feel like this is a big one. A lot of people write letters for fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
I've received a lot of letters for fundraising.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with that. Everything we do, especially fundraising, needs to be relational. So if you're going to send a letter, don't make one generic letter and send it to 30 people. Take the time to write a specific letter to that specific person that you have grown a relationship with in some way, you know, enough that you're willing to ask them to, you know, fund you. If you have that much of a relationship, then write a very specific letter to them, you know, with your heart. Because it's all about relationship. Even fundraising, it's about relationship. And yeah, it's going to take you more time.
Right.
But I mean, what are we given this time for if it's not to build relationships with each other?
Right, right. So that kind of goes into the question I was going to ask is, how do you follow up after somebody has given money?
Yeah,
you know, and
that's super important. You guys, people don't tend to do things again if they don't feel gratitude for what they gave the first time. I'm always so humbled every single time, whether it's a gift of $5 or $500. It is a humbling, humbling, humbling experience. And I always reach back out to them and say thank you so much. In fact, if they donate something, you know, the gentleman that donated $1,000 to our camp, we actually had some of the campers at camp who they have been scholarship by him. They made him a hand, you know, made card with multiple pages with their pictures and them doing things at camp. And it was just very heartfelt.
Yeah.
And that really, he still has that.
Wow.
And I mean, you know, so that tells you something right there. Like, be personal. And it's amazing because these relationships that you build, they pay off. Even with our church has been wanting to replant in Surrey for quite some time. And we were looking for land. And if this Surrey Hills is just a part of a community of Oklahoma City that it is a very desirable place to live.
Yeah.
Out of the like four corners of Oklahoma City, it's the only one left where there's still room to grow out west and still be in city limits. And it is just a great area, but unfortunately, everything is very expensive. And we were a small church. I mean, our church is in a trailer house, you know.
Yeah.
And over the years, you know, in fact, it's a funny story. With our coffee shop, we opened our mobile coffee shop, and we were looking for a place to park. It's like a food truck.
Yeah.
And we wanted to park in the neighborhood, and we found this one guy that owned land, and we looked up his number online because we found out his name, who the owner was, and we called him, and he called us, left a message. He called us back and said, "Hey, my name's Mike Love. Yes, I own that piece of property. You're more than welcome to park there anytime you want." And we said, "Great. How much, you know, how much do you want us to pay you for use of this land?" He was like, "Don't worry about it." Well, little did I know that would start a relationship that would continue on for years. And this man also is the one who has offered our church property with, once we purchased that property, he has agreed to donate back $100,000 to our church.
Wow.
That was from relationship. That was from five. I didn't even know what God was doing when he opened that door.
Right.
And he opened that door.
Yeah.
And it's just, like I said, it's just amazing. It's all about relationship.
Yeah.
Everything. Everything about ministry is relational. And it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's the greatest challenges when it comes to fundraising? That's probably a really dumb question to ask you.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's challenging because I can't fundraise on my own. When my fundraisers require the support of all the people around me.
Yeah.
You know, I can't do singing Valentine's on my own.
Right.
I can't hide eggs in 25 people's yards in one evening by myself. You know, I can't do this.
Yeah.
So the challenge is making sure that you, your congregation is behind you and they want to join you in what you're doing. It's also being intentional. It's not like I just get people raising their hand saying, "Hey, how can we help you with this stuff, CJ?" It's, "Hey, Chris, will you help me with the singing Valentines?"
Yeah.
"Tim, will you come in?" I'm very intentional on asking people because even in your church, you need to ask.
Mm.
You
invite
need,
people.
And I don't mean generically, anybody who wants to do this, sign up.
You're very specific on who you go to.
Go talk to them.
Yeah.
And say, "I could really use you. You are so gifted in this way.
Yeah.
You know, will you join me on this?" And a lot of the times, people just need to be asked.
Wow. So I would like for you to talk about the fear people encounter when asking for money. How do you get over that?
I mean, you guys, everybody's had some kind of parental figure in their life. We've all been told no.
True. That's true.
Why is it so scary?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just, and the thing is, we have to remember what we're fundraising for. Even like if you're fundraising for your salary, you know, it kind of feels selfish in a way, right?
Yeah.
But it's not, because if you weren't fundraising that salary, where do you think it's coming from? It's coming from a church fund that could be, you know, using that money for something else. So don't, I mean, you know, we're raising it for Jesus to do his work with.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just, all I can say is try it. Give it a try. You'll be amazed once you get out there and try something in a whole new perspective that the first person that says no, it's not, I mean, it, at first it may be like, oh, how, but as soon as you get that yes, it changes everything.
Oh, I can't imagine.
And you'll get the yes.
Yeah.
I've never found a single fundraiser yet, anything, that has not been successful, that I have not raised funds.
Who would you say that, who would you say needs or should be raising funds when it comes to being in a church?
Everyone.
Every single person.
Every single person could contribute in some way. Absolutely. Huh. Absolutely. I don't care if, you know, there's chocolate bars that you can buy a box of, and set, if you own a business, put them out at your business. It's $60 a box every time you sell a box. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, there's so many fundraisers out there now online that require little to no effort from you at all.
Huh.
You know, and it's just being willing to participate. It's being willing, even in the way that if you, like these singing Valentines, of course, the majority of our congregation couldn't help with this.
Yeah.
But by simply telling their friends about it, by simply telling their family members about it, you know, that helps. By just supporting and loving us, it helps.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just, yeah. it again, it's just being present. Showing up, and even if, and that's not always physical.
Yeah.
You can show up with your prayers. You can show up with your love, but you know, it really does. It really does take everyone. Now, I will say that if you have young people or young families or anybody who can walk, and nowadays they make some wheelchairs that are pretty snazzy, so there's not much of an excuse there either. You know, if you are capable, you can fundraise.
Yeah,
you can fundraise.
Yeah,
you can write a letter. You can fundraise.
So what would you say to that pastor or ministry leader that has been trying to do fundraising, but hasn't gotten a whole lot of money or hasn't gotten a good response? What kind of advice would you share with that leader?
Well, we need to set goals, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like a lot of the times we say, okay, I want to raise $25,000. Well, that's not going to happen in one fundraiser, okay?
Yeah.
So we need to set our goals at a reasonable amount.
Yeah.
And that just may mean more fundraisers, and that's okay because that's just more relationship and more fun. Did you get that? More fun?
I got the more fun.
Yeah. But also, if what you're doing isn't working, then do something else. Like I said, there are a million different avenues to fundraising.
Yeah.
And find something different. If you need help, reach out to me. I have a list that I have been keeping of different wow. fundraising ideas. And I will share it with anyone who wants it because not everybody wants to do singing Valentines. So, yeah. But there are so many other things that you can do. And so I have a list and I'm willing to share that with anybody because you don't have 2 hours for me to list them all.
Maybe what we'll do is we'll get that list from you and then we can put in the show notes.
Yeah.
So people can access it.
Show notes.
Yeah, we got show notes.
I like it. I like it a lot.
CJ, I'm going to have to listen to this podcast over and over and over again.
Until you get some fun
in the fundraising.
That's right.
Thank you so much for sharing your wealth of knowledge. Wealth get of it? Knowledge.
Oh,
it's so punny. Thanks for being here, though.
Thank you, Joe.
Michelle, you can tell that her and I have been friends for a very long time.
Yes.
We were definitely bantering back and forth. I've known her since I was 11, I think it is.
Wow.
So it's a good relationship that we have. And what stood out to me was how she said when she approaches people on asking for resources, and it's not just money, it's other things to accomplish something else, is it's not a cold call.
Right.
Because there was a relationship that was established beforehand, whether it was in person or whether it was through social media, even. Mm-hmm. She talked about that pizza company.
Right.
And they didn't know each other in person, but they saw through social media and they knew of each other through social media. And people want to be part of something bigger
yes.
than themselves. And they're willing to invest their resources, whether it's time or their vehicles, their houses, their tools, whatever it is, money. A craft that they can do, you know, they want to invest in that into meaningful purposes.
Yeah, I think she had a couple really powerful reframes for fundraising, which can kind of be like a dirty word,
you know,
ones that a lot of us try to avoid because we see it in a negative way. But she reframed it as because it's something she's so passionate about as something that can be fun and that isn't a means to an end. It can be ministry itself. I thought that was really, really powerful, that it's like this is not a way in order for us to be able to do our ministry, but this is a way to invite people to participate in Christ's ministry as well in the ways that he has provided for them, whether it be time, talent, resources. It's an opportunity for even more ministry and to expand our ministry, and that is fun.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It really, really is. So be sure to check out more resources in the show notes at the resources site, which is resources.gci.org/GC podcast. And as a quick reminder of the 2020 denominational celebration, the theme is focused on hope, and it is July 29th through August 2nd right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. So be sure to go to gci.org/events/2020 for more info, like the dates, schedule, and then you can start registering in December. Let's pack this house.
Yes.
And we will see you in the next episode.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC Podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there's someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.